We have got just, I think, enough time to play this thing about Skycraft. We were going to broadcast it last week, and it's based on something that the Australian Space Agency released in October this year. And that release highlighted what it called a hidden ingredient in managing air traffic from space. And this was about how the Canberra-based company Skycraft is building a constellation of over 200 satellites for air traffic management. So here's the release from the Australian Space Agency, which we are reading here.
Skycraft. After weathering a global pandemic, the big business of aviation keeps flying high. An average day in 2025 sees over 100,000 planes take to the skies across the world, with around 13,000 in the air at any given time. Annually, those planes will carry close to 5 billion passengers and a third of global trade. And while flying planes from A to B is one thing, communicating with them and keeping track of them in the air is another. A network of ground infrastructure has long done the job. But this leaves gaps, especially considering over 70% of the Earth is covered by ocean. This is where space technology comes in. Strategically positioned constellations of satellites can eliminate the gaps left by ground infrastructure, giving planes continuous communication and surveillance coverage wherever their journey takes them. Skycraft, a Canberra-based satellite manufacturer and space services provider, is realizing this potential. Starting with the launch of 5 satellites in 2023, it has steadily been building its own air traffic management service. This uses a satellite constellation that will be usable in 2026 and eventually feature over 200 satellites. The service will provide consistent aircraft position information and two-way voice and data communications between pilots and air traffic controllers. Skycraft's Chief Executive Officer Michael Fratter says the key to organizing the constellation is Skycraft's own attitude determination and control system, which the company has been developing since 2018.
We need to precisely position the spacecraft in the constellation so they're evenly spread out. This means we need to be able to measure their position and attitude. The attitude determination and control system has sensors that let us figure out what the orientation of a satellite is, and then it has a control system. With this, we can change the angles of pitch by tilting the satellite up and down, yaw by turning side to side, and roll by rotating horizontally.
The sensors employed by the attitude determination and control system include cameras that view the Earth's horizon and a magnetometer to measure the Earth's magnetic field. When the system recognizes the discrepancy between the current attitude and the target attitude, gyroscopes act to adjust the satellite's orientation accordingly. Investment in the attitude determination and control system from the Australian Space Agency in 2022 through the Moon to Mars grant program enabled the creation of a prototype sensor, advanced work on sensor algorithms, and further refinement to the system's overall control function.
The Skycraft spacecraft have a mass of about 80 kilograms, and when all of the antennas are deployed, they're about 6 meters across. That means the level of control which is required is much greater than necessary with small spacecraft used by many other organizations in the Australian space sector.
Australian Sky makes up 11% of global airspace, and the organization managing it is Air Services Australia. They partnered with Skycraft in 2022 to inform the development of the air traffic management service. The two organizations ran proof-of-concept trials of the system, which have since concluded, as well as transferring technical engineering and air traffic management expertise. Speaking on the partnership announcement, Air Services Australia Deputy Chief Executive Officer Peter Curran praised the growing role of space technology.
Space-based technologies provide significant opportunity to enhance safety, efficiency, predictability, and capacity, while reducing overall infrastructure costs associated with the current ground-based networks. This is a great opportunity to support an Australian company develop new sovereign capability that has the potential to provide near-continuous surveillance reporting and higher-fidelity communications that not only benefits air services and our customers, but the global aviation industry.
Skycraft is now running tests and improving its algorithms using an attitude determination and control system launched into orbit in July, in anticipation of regular deployment aboard its spacecraft from next year. Looking ahead, Michael points out the company's philosophy of continually learning and gathering data through testing mechanisms built into its operating technology.
Rather than thinking about building special test jigs for our manufacturing, what we really want to do is have all of the test infrastructure bundled inside every spacecraft. There's some instances in manufacturing where you would never do this, like with consumer electronics, for example, which are very price sensitive. Bundling that inside every product actually can increase cost. For us, the big driver is not the last $5 of the spacecraft's cost. It's being able to get access to a rich data set on the performance of the spacecraft on an ongoing basis, and to have consistency about the data that we are collecting all the way through the life of the satellite.
Over the next 6 months, Skycraft will continue in orbit and ground testing of the attitude determination and control system, fine-tuning it in time to roll out the first spacecraft of its operational air traffic management constellation in 2026.
That release from the Australian Space Agency was read by our actors here at Southern FM. Well, I did mention in my chat with Richard that I was able to drag away, I didn't have to drag him away, he came away willingly, but I dragged him away from lunch and we sat down and we had a chat. Now, this is Douglas Griffin, the chief engineer of Skycraft, who comes from Canberra. Here's our conversation. Doug, welcome to the Space Show. What is Skycraft?
So Skycraft's an Australian company. We're based in Canberra. We came out of University of New South Wales, Canberra, four founders, Russell Boyce, Doug Griffin, Craig Benson and James Pryor. And we exist to deliver air traffic management services from low Earth orbit.
How do you do that?
So what we do is we have payloads on the spacecraft that track the aircraft. So track the flight as it takes off from, let's say, Mascot Airport and routes that data back to the air traffic controller. So there's a blip on the screen. We're tracking it from space all the way. And then we provide a comms link, a communications link between the cockpit and the controller, so that either party can talk directly to each other in real time.
And why do they need to do that?
So the infrastructure that's used around airports and in around our congested areas of space in around land is all line of sight radars and communications. Once an aircraft goes out of line of sight, so once it dips below the horizon, you don't have that really good quality of service. So you have to fall back to other mechanisms at the moment. With our system, we can track the aircraft and provide that comms link in real time, so it's a seamless, high-quality coverage globally.
Yes, so an international flight, say, going from Australia to America would normally use high-frequency radio when they're out of line of VHF.
Yep, that's correct. It's HF radio. Now, if you have ever worked with HF radio, you know that it's not really good quality and it can come and go. And you also need HF radio operators sitting there listening to the traffic and relaying the messages back to the controller. So that's really labour-intensive. I must say that you can also do a direct call via geostationary spacecraft, but that's a little bit slower because it has to be set up and it's pretty costly as well. Our system would just immediately press the button on the mic in the cockpit and you're talking to your controller.
Now, you've gone through several generations of spacecraft. What were they and what improvements are coming up?
Yeah, so our first spacecraft that we built was called Majura, and we never got to launch that one. We built it. It was ready to go. It had gone through all its vibration testing, and it wasn't launched just because the contract, the launch service contract with the commercials broke down, and so they gave us our money back and said sorry. So we've launched three batches of spacecraft that have actually got into orbit, and they were launched in January 23, July 23, and then July 25. So we just recently. And what we're doing with those launches is building up the capability of those spacecraft to be able to track the aircraft better, to be able to provide those communications links better, and also prove out the other technology we've got on those spacecraft.
And they're working well?
Yeah. We've been really happy with the launches. It really validates our approach to getting the service online. We're learning about both the payloads and also about the spacecraft subsystems, and also about the engineering systems to put them together, to test them, and to scale up.
What sort of mass are they?
So the original spacecraft was around 30. The one that didn't get launched. The current generation of spacecraft that were launched in July are 50 kilos each.
And the future ones will be about the same size?
No, we're adding a little bit more, so we need a little bit more fuel on board to get the mileage that we need out of them. And we're also upgrading our payloads for tracking the aircraft and for communicating. And they're more power and bigger mass with electronics and antennas and so forth. And so it's grown to about 80 kilos now.
Yes, the fuel needed to overcome orbital drag?
Yep. So we need that propulsion for orbital manoeuvres to get it into the right orbit to start off with. We need to counteract the drag that we see in low Earth orbit, just the little traces of atmosphere that's there, and also for conjunction avoidance. So if we get a prediction that we're flying close to another space object, then we can fire our thruster and step aside.
What sort of delta V do you need for a collision avoidance?
It depends on how long you've got before you've got the conjunction. So if you've got a long time, a couple of days, then it's easy to miss by tens, even hundreds of kilometres with a very modest change in velocity. So we talk about delta V. So a delta V of half a metre per second a day in advance will give you hundreds of kilometres of separation.
There's a commercial market for this service?
Yep. At the moment, the air traffic management is managed by a UN body called ICAO, and ICAO is changing its rules, its operating procedures, which is not changing them, but updating them to basically have the regulatory framework in place, so they can do communication from space, and also tracking the aircraft from space and fit it into their operational systems.
Down this part of the world, there isn't much air traffic, which is why.
The number of flights that go between Melbourne and Sydney is actually a very high density area of the world.
No, I was meaning more outside of Australia, compared to, say, across the North Atlantic. What advantages could your system give to people in the Northern Hemisphere?
Yeah, so in the Northern Hemisphere, there's a lot of traffic that crosses the North Atlantic. And in the North Atlantic, the weather is such that you've got the jet streams, and there's altitudes and headings that are favourable for low fuel burn. And having our system allows the aircraft to be put controlled and spaced more closely than they currently are at the moment. Without this system in place, they have to be separated by large distances, so the order of 30 nautical miles horizontal separation. With our system, that could be brought down a lot lower, so more aircraft can take advantage of tailwinds.
Tailwinds being from, say, the jet stream.
Exactly.
And how do they know where the jet stream is?
So every day, the air traffic management organisations that manage that airspace get together and look at the weather forecast for the day ahead, and they do some big hands planning of how they'll be routing the traffic in the coming day, and then they implement that plan and adapt as necessary.
What sort of orbit are your satellites in terms of inclination? You know, how far north and south do they go, and how would you get coverage over the North Pole in particular? There's not many aircraft go over the South Pole, of course.
Yeah. It's as with any engineering system, it's a trade-off of your orbit selection. There's a big advantage to have spacecraft in mid-inclination, so you're not spending a lot of time over the poles, and you get better coverage over the equator because there's a lot more landmass and oceanic space around the equator than there is around the pole. The poles are only just a little cap on the Earth. So mid-inclination is the most of the constellation. If you want to have good coverage over the poles, you can put a couple of orbital planes over the poles as well. And we've done some trade-offs with answering your question about altitude. We've done some trade-offs on what's the right altitude to select, and the sweet spot seems to be around 600 kilometres.
For GPS to work properly, you need several satellites, you know, up to six satellites in view at any one time. How many satellites would an aircraft expect to need to use your system?
Yep. So for operational use, we need to have at least two spacecraft in line of sight of an aircraft all the time, so that we've got that redundancy for safety reasons.
So you don't want the pilot saying, oh, we lost contact.
Yeah. And heaven forbid, if one spacecraft goes down, you've got a hot spare sitting there already providing the service. So it becomes transparent to the users. They don't even know that there's been a degradation in the system. But having at least two, and in general we'll have a lot more than two, it gives us that robustness and reliability that you'd need for a safety of life application like air traffic management.
Now, Skycraft's proudly Australian company. Are you facing competition from other companies overseas?
Yep. There are other companies. There's another company in Spain that's looking to provide this service as well, and I'm sure there's more out there.
Well, thank you for joining us on The Space Show.
Thank you, Andrew.
Yesterday I was speaking with Douglas Griffin, the chief engineer of Skycraft, and he comes from Canberra, and we were at the 24th Australian Space Research Conference.